Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Like a Walker Kessler doesn't have to score
right
to still be impactful defensively, but my point is he knows that. Is Edie going to be able to make this transition where he is not getting the ball on a regular basis after running up and down the court? In a way that he's not used to, he's not getting the ball offensively,
right.
He's still going to be as engaged defensively. No, that player typically is not, and that's what's going to keep him back of the rotation, second
correct
unit guy.
Yeah, I think that's
in
probably
my
a
eyes,
good call. I mean, it's hard to see
I'm not
him
the first. I'm with Kenny. Kenny Smith said it long ago. This guy's a 12-minute-per-game player in the NBA that's in a role
right
and not starting for you.
Correct.
He's coming off the bench.
No, I mean, we
I think he can be successful doing
right
that. And you could play some years doing that.
Correct.
As opposed to you trying to make this guy a feature part of your offense,
well,
a starter. That's not what Zach Edey's going to be in the NBA.
I bet you if we went back and looked at the last 10 NBA drafts, we would not find the 9 pick consistently doing that, getting 12 minutes a game in the NBA. That'd be my guess. So it's not the worst thing in the world if that's what he is. I just think my guess is, without knowing, that most 9 picks in the last 10 years are probably now in Belgrade or Greece. You know, that'd be my guess. I could be totally wrong on that. I'm going to look at that when we go to break here. But again, beautiful day today. We're celebrating all white basketball players, all white guards.
We probably do it too often.
Well,
considering how low their numbers are in the league.
Well, I don't think that's possible.
Who's the white person we're celebrating this title for? For Boston.
Oh, we have a lot. We have a ton. We have
Hauser,
Payton Pritchard, Luke Kornet.
That's who you hold up. See, you didn't do very well.
Well, Peyton, they put him in at the end of the games when they need big at the end of halves.
Yeah, I've seen him. He's hit like a half quarter, and that's exactly about all he's done.
He does it quite a bit.
Hit one from the logo.
It's his thing, you know. Peyton Pritchard is, I mean, I don't know if you saw the end of that game. That man was out there like it was peach jam. I mean, he could have had 50 if they really kept him in there.
Just know who the major contributors to this championship are, okay?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
and
Brad Stevens.
It's not like you can grab Luka either, even on these other teams.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, you make Brad Stevens.
What?
That's it, exactly. He found a way to make an American white the hero.
No, I'm just kidding, man.
It's John Martin's quest.
It's, what's his name? Chocolate Shaft, which I think
yeah,
think
we've changed
again,
it. Because, again, you pointed out, and that's why. It's not that it makes me uncomfortable saying or anything else. It's redundant.
Right. There's no white Shaft.
Right. Never been one.
Right.
Shaft means black dude.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's for sure. So,
maybe Chocolate Thunder or something.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to.
Again, I'm going to need to see a better performance. I was really let down by him in game four.
Who was reprising the Chocolate Thunder nickname?
Yeah, was that
who?
Not Dawkins?
Daryl Dawkins.
I feel like it'd be stealing from him. So.
It would be stealing from him. And did you get
that? We've got to do something for
right
Jaylen Brown revolving around,
right,
you know, dark skinned, handsome brother.
Well, which I would not say Daryl Dawkins was, just to be clear. I don't think you would have looked at him and said, handsome brother right there.
Not to the handsome and to the degree that Jaylen is.
Right.
And we're not going to make this hot or not. We're not going to make this the new segment.
Rest in peace, Daryl Dawkins,
but
by
Daryl
the way.
But Daryl Dawkins, yeah. Daryl Dawkins was great with the ladies. Shout out back, boys. The ladies loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hold a candle in terms of handsomeness to Jaylen Brown, though.
Yeah.
But that the Thunder was about the thunderous dunks.
Emphatic.
Right. Exactly. Brown's done a little bad of this.
Wasn't he in the dunk contest?
Was that too?
Yeah. So he's definitely got some velocity too.
The reprise, if you do give the guy the same nickname, he's got to be unbelievable. So I think we have to go with something else.
Yeah.
We'll continue to look.
I'd like to
see him shut this down first, really.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, this Boston team finish this off, and then we can officially crown Jaylen Brown with a nickname.
We'll continue our tributes when we come back with Caitlin Clark. She got another win yesterday.
Yeah, so. Well, how's she shooting this season, Mr. Percentages?
She was 61% yesterday.
Like, tell me about the season. You just did it for Reed Shepard. Jesus, the whole game to game.
Well, we will have bring in some of her former coaches.
What's wrong with you?
And have a tribute and more on the other side. Stick around. Jason and Sean, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We love sports. We love them so much that we never want them to stop. But as these playoffs wind down, we're getting to that slower time of year where you got fewer games to choose from. Just happens. The sports aren't sportsing like we want them to, and that's the nature of June and July. But FanDuel lets us keep the games going whenever we want. All you have to do is open up the app and dream up bets anytime you're in the mood this summer. FanDuel's hooking all customers up with a boost or a bonus daily this summer. That's right. There's something for everybody, every day, all summer long, including Major League Baseball. So head on over to FanDuel.com/JSmith. Start making the most of your summer. That's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. And see what your boost or bonus is daily this summer. It's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball and of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Opt-in required. Wager requirements apply. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable bonus bets or profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including bonus expiration. See terms and conditions at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
It's The Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so let's talk a little University of Memphis basketball.
Yes, please.
We have more turnover, more change over there on the staff for Memphis basketball. Did mention the movement on the show last, I don't know if it's Thursday or Friday, that there was expected to be a demotion or a moving around of Faraji, and then Jermaine Johnson expected to be put back on staff as an assistant. Mention that.
Yeah, shout out to you for saying it last week before anybody else had, to my knowledge.
Yeah, and then Hitman Hoops added over the weekend that Garrett Kelly, Andy Pennington, and we also got the news from Munns that Darby Rich is moving to Texas to be the same for the same position, strength and conditioning at Texas. But Garrett Kelly, who was the director of basketball ops, is gone. Andy Pennington, who I think was doing like some analytics or something, he is out. That Faraji Fields, as we said, has been moved / demoted. Jordan Verholtz, Jeremy Kipnis, Jamie Rosser, Demetrius Dyson have all been brought back. But again, this is according to Hitman Hoops. It's a lot of change.
There's a lot going on over there.
A lot of turnover.
But everything jived with what you had said, what we'd said, that so Mike Davis and Andre Turner will be on the support staff.
Correct. Support staff.
And right then, now, Stansberry is in assistant one spot.
Correct.
Faraji no longer in assistant any spot.
He is now support staff.
Jermaine Johnson coming in as one of the three assistants along with Stansberry. Who's my third assistant?
Nolan Smith. Is the expectation as of
then
right
it jives
now.
With everything that you had put out there on the show?
Yeah, so that is the
about Jermaine getting back in there. We had discussed that. We can still talk to the Godfather, you know, who has Jermaine still by his side.
That's right. I mean, I tell you what,
and closer than ever, apparently.
Closer than ever.
Who has bounced back and forth from assistant to support staff to assistant to support to out to support to assistant again?
Man.
In the way that Jermaine Johnson has.
It has been
congrats, Coach. We used to be a weekly guest.
It has been a very – I mean –
had him in an analyst role there for a while. Remember that when he was on the outside?
No doubt. I mean
– amazing.
It's been a very busy offseason for the Godfather in terms of hirings and firings. And why do you think they call me the Godfather, man? Why do you think that? Is it because I just sit on my ass and eat bonbons and just kind of let everything stay the same? No. Garrett, direct D's. Get the hell out of my office! Andy Pennington. You were over analytics. Analyze this! Get your ass out of here!
Damn.
Faraji, man. Faraji.
Well, now, we love him. He's been part of the family.
I did it to you when I was at East. And I'ma do it to you again! This ain't Whitehaven!
That's cold blood.
No, I'm gonna do you a favor because you're a good man.
Yeah, he's staying.
You're a good man.
Can't be in the seat.
But you ain't gonna be on that court. You're gonna be support. All right?
Damn, Godfather made it round.
So that's how we do.
He's a freaking poet laureate.
They said you've been in the mood this offseason, Godfather. They said you ain't wanted to answer questions. You ain't been showing up.
I ain't answering nothing.
You've been real angry.
I ain't answering questions. I ain't answering calls. I ain't answering emails. I'm out of office unless I'm in. Do you understand me? Capiche?
We got it.
I'm out of office unless I'm in the office. And if I'm in the office, that's bad news for you because I'm firing your ass.
Lots of change.
There's a lot of change. So I think that's it. Oh. Jermaine!
He's back. Boss.
They say if you love something, you gotta let it go. Which I have done to you twice.
That's right.
And I really wanted to know.
It's amazing.
If I truly cared about you. So I did it two times. And what I have learned in those instances, that you brighten my day with your little catchphrases and your nursery rhymes. You brighten my day, Jermaine. And you also helped me escort all the other bozos out of the building. So I want to personally, first of all, thank you. It's a season of reunions for me. I brought back Stone Hands, and I'm going to bring you back, Jermaine. Right here next to me, right hand man, as God intended.
You be careful with that, Godfather. You brought Malco back, and he stabbed you in the heart.
We not going to talk about Malcolm right now.
I'm just saying, be careful on these reunions.
He's preparing for the draft. And if he ain't careful, the Godfather will make sure it's the military draft. All right? Okay. So please. The Godfather's already taken Lipitor. It's been a very, very, very turbulent offseason for me.
Yep.
All right? So I don't want to have to...
get some holes in. Get some golf in, you know?
No,
find some peace, Godfather.
I want loyalty in this program. That's the number one thing I want. And I know that you have always been loyal to me. Now, some may say, Godfather, if you care so much about loyalty and dedication, then why are you bringing in Nolan Smith, who was accused of sabotaging Kenny Payne? And I'm still marinating on that one. I'm still ruminating. Give the Godfather a few months. I'll have an answer for you.
But you've long wanted him, Godfather.
There is no doubt. In 2020, rising star. A rising star in the coaching industry. So, listen. Are we done? Maybe not. We could always. At any point, we could tie some cylinder blocks to your feet, and you'll be in the Mississippi. That's how I run my program.
And I can't keep up with who you're recruiting to replace David Jones. It changes by the day. So maybe you'll
let me know when you
find out. I'm scared to ask you any more questions, though, about it. You know?
Yeah. Let me know when you find out, because I would also like to know. But anyway, yeah, so that's the offseason for Memphis.
So well done.
Not on-court support. I mean, that is how, you know, Memphis.
That was well done.
That's the
that
slogan well for Memphis
really
basketball.
Well,
that's Marconi.
That's the Memphis basketball offseason.
What are we doing for strength coach? Does it matter?
I mean, not really. I don't know.
Okay, I'm just making
I don't have an answer for you on that.
So look around locally or something. Just get somebody in there.
Sure, yeah. You go Booker T. How about who's my man?
We've long wanted Shabazz in that spot.
Yeah, who is my guy that we had on the show, man? Oh man, who was it?
The Life Changer?
No, not the
Coach Shabazz.
No, the WWE Hall of Famer, bro. Who was it, man?
Who?
Your guy. Who is it?
Who are you talking about?
The guy from Memphis that was inducted into the, what's his name, bro?
The guy from Memphis that was inducted into what?
The WWE Hall of Fame.
Coco Beware.
Coco Beware! Let's get Coco Beware.
So you plan.
Keep it Memphis. Keep it Memphis, bro. For sure.
So you plan.
Go get Chris McCulley. Go get my man Chris McCulley. He could be on.
McCulley, big dude.
Yeah, so I'm just saying we could keep it, you know what I mean, you know, just local for sure.
That's a hell of a support staff of Mike Davis and Andre and those guys on it.
It is. And that's what you need. You need a lot of support.
A lot of family.
Nah. I mean.
Is Dwight Boyd still on staff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's untouchable.
That man's got a lifetime.
That's a made man. Dwight's a made man. We don't talk about Dwight. We don't need to talk about Dwight. He's a made man.
Man, Faraji, man. So he's been, and I love Faraji to death, know him well. He's been demoted at Vandy and been demoted at Memphis.
Yeah, tough.
You wonder whether going the college coaching route still.
Yeah.
Because you know, he was as good a high school coach around here as there was.
Yeah.
I think, you know, his wife she's administrator in school. So she's been doing well for a long time. And so I think at one point, guy that was up in Nashville, I'm don't know whether she'd come back or not. But that's tough.
It is tough.
Two college staffs now.
And I would say this, just like.
Went to get Morrell to Vandy, remember?
On a serious note, mm-hmm. This does not portray a situation that is bountiful or healthy or one of optimism, right? Basically slash and burning your entire staff down to operations, starting completely over with your team once again. You know, we talk about this all the time with stability and, you know, continuity, and there is literally none on this staff other than Penny. That's it. That's the only constant that you have. And, you know, in this day and age, you know, is that enough? I don't know. I mean, my guess would be there are going to be some tough times this year, this season with this team, because you still don't have the replacement for David Jones. Not sure if you'll necessarily even have that. I mean, you try to get involved with Boone, and he may not be eligible. I got to check on that. So I think that's the part of it that, again, the talent is enough to where you should still be competitive in the AAC, but it's like, you know, you wanted to be at a point now in this season where, in this tenure, where you're like, oh, it's set up. We got, you know, X, Y, and Z. We'll be the preseason favorites in the AAC every year. We'll be a favorite to make the NCAA tournament every year. And that's just not where it is. It's just not where it is. So I think in that sense, it's fallen short. You know, people will get mad, but it's just the truth. And here's the thing. Everybody will rationalize, well, this didn't happen, and this didn't happen, and this didn't happen, and this didn't happen, and this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and that happened. And those things are all true, and in some cases maybe even fair, but it's a bottom-line business. Every coach has a million reasons why something didn't work or did work. It's just, is it working? You know, we've said this a million times. I don't think you disagree. I think you're still on the same page here. I think we're on the same page that, you know, this has to be tournament, at the bare minimum. And if it's not, you know, you got to look at moving on.
Yeah. I mean, I would almost say it needs to be a tournament win, because I don't know how much excitement there's going to be around here. If you get back to the tournament, but you're an 8-9 seed again, and, you lose that first game, you know, what are we going to do again? Replace the whole roster and
staff.
Do it again. I mean, that's not a place you want your program.
Correct.
Feels like it'll be stuck at that point. So I would, yes, making the tournament seems non-negotiable, but I would almost say to again, this is what we were talking about last week, to get the kind of buy-in back, the kind of excitement back, excuse me, that Ryan Silverfield's got going on the football side, you're going to need to win at least a game in the tournament and maybe still have to make that second weekend that we thought you were so close to last year to really get people bought back in on Penny Hardaway's the right guy for the job. This thing's headed in the right direction, because
exactly.
Right now, again, I would tell you, you're a little bit of a crossroads. So I don't even know if it's just making the but you're right. That's bare minimum.
Yeah.
But that don't get you any level of excitement whatsoever if you're not at least winning one tournament game.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, listen.
Okay, because then they'd be able to say, what, Penny Hardaway, one tournament win in 7 years.
No doubt.
7 seasons.
But at least three appearances. I mean, you know, that sounds a little better. You're making it.
Bro, you ran off, again,
on pace,
it's different situation, different background, and by the time, you know, Josh got that extension, what you were paying him didn't, It was crazy. Agreed. But you ran that guy off.
That's true.
For four appearances, two wins.
Agreed.
You'd be talking three appearances, one win. No. I mean, again, after seven?
I give him a little more grace because of the situation he inherited, but that was 7 years ago. You know,
I'm not saying you push the fire button on it. What I'm saying is this program be in right. No position where it's drawing folks in, selling tickets with an excitement right now that we're used to around that program.
Right.
That's the issue.
Yes.
And so, again, you can't keep missing. You can't miss.
Yes. You cannot miss.
That was so costly.
Yeah, and honestly, like I think there's a decent chance we're going to look back at that FAU game with the thrown water bottle, Gatorade bottle. Like, that was the chance. That was the chance that Memphis really, really had.
In terms of Sweet 16.
To lock it in, yeah, and to, like, really elevate. And unfortunately, you know, your missed timeout call. And, again, that's not Penny's fault, right? Like, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody's going to have things they can point to, you know. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. Now, I will say this. I think there should be a challenge system in college basketball. You know, like, why are we not doing that? We have challenge systems in college football. Why are we not emulating that for these coaches when there's so much human error? Because that's one right there I would have said, no, he got the timeout. I think we would have been able to retroactively award that.
That's a judgment call, right? Whether or not that ref grants you the timeout.
Maybe you wouldn't have been able to challenge that at all. I don't know. But I just feel like maybe there's a chance, if there was a chance, you should have that.
I mean, in the end, you couldn't get a stop.
Elijah McCann bit on
Kendrick
the three.
Turned that ball over uncharacteristically.
Replay it.
Malco, you know, contributed to it with the mess with Kendrick. So in the end, it's all back on you. We can't blame replay for the reason Penny doesn't have more than one win.
No, you're right. There are lots of things that
they got screwed up.
But that was the pivotal.
But then you add that to a collapse after 15-2 and number 10 in the country.
Oh God.
Remember that you were close. You were close too. We thought you were better.
It makes me sick, bro.
At that point last season,
yeah,
than you had been when you lost.
It really is heartbreaking.
That close game with
Kendrick. It's
heartbreaking. It is
because like it was so close, man.
You were kicking in the door.
It was so close.
It literally was close.
I mean, you were up 10 at the half on Gonzaga, right? Then you come back the next year and you make the NCAA tournament and you're a freaking jump ball away from most likely the Sweet 16.
Well, freaking Purdue goes down. Yeah, that's when you knew the door was wide open.
And then. You know, you have the 15-2 start this year. You're top 10 in the country for the first time since, was it Josh? Did Josh crack the top 10 once? I think he did. I think it was Josh, yeah. But still, that's how far back you got to go, right? And it just all goes to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, Josh had never been that high that late in the season.
Exactly.
That's why it had to go.
It
you
felt
had to go
real.
Back to
it
Cal.
Felt more real. That's exactly right. That's exactly
about.
Right.
It was a different kind of giddy
this
around here that
calendar.
You didn't felt since the Cal year.
Exactly right.
That's why you told yourself this is real.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, they might be having some issues behind the scenes, but on the court they killed it in the non-con, and they're holding on enough in these conference games that you say there was no way they're going to just completely fall apart, and they did Philadelphia Eagles style.
Exactly right. They sure did, man. So, damn, that's exactly what it was. And they were talking about firing Sirianni. You know? He went to a Super Bowl the year before. Now, it's a little different. It's the NFL. It's professional. But
again, a lot of people talking about the staff changes there. Remember they lost both coordinators and everything else?
Yep.
And when you add up all the, you know, take some injuries.
Yep.
You know, the right mix of problems.
Absolutely.
And then these things get exposed.
Not overcoming that.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, two new assistant coaches, you know, so many different.
Although keeping Stansberry, you got to point out.
No, I mean, Stansberry
right.
was.
Because if it's not Stansberry with him right now, who knows where you are from a recruiting standpoint, NIL last couple of years, getting everything organized.
Yeah.
So just in terms
keeping
of.
Keeping Stansberry was non-negotiable.
That's key to, you know, moving forward. That part of the stability has been there at least.
No, look, I mean,
you got a right-hand man the last couple of years.
I'm not saying that, like, they lost in Faragi and Borman, which we've been over Borman. I'm not saying they lost, like, something that's irreplaceable or that was, like, super extremely valuable to the enterprise. I'm not saying that. It's more so, like, just what it kind of represents, right, which is, like, just this culture of just transition and change and
a constant turnover,
right? And that's
from
just
staff
like
to player.
You're not going to find a school in the country that has that going on that is super successful. It's just the truth. I mean, people can get mad about that all they want to, but it's the truth. You know, whether that's identifying somebody that you can trust for the long term, whether that's, you know, just success breeding more success, whatever the case may be, it's just not something that's conducive to highly productive college basketball programs. It's just the truth. So, you know, is this the staff that can do it? Is this the staff that can find it? I doubt it, honestly. But, you know, hey, they got to play the games. And this AAC is weaker than it's ever been. And, you know, you still have a good team. You still have a good team in place now. It's not great. It's not one that's like, oh, my God, they're going to blow the doors off people. But there's some talented pieces on it. And if P.J. Haggerty is a player that people think he could be, you know, maybe it goes better than expected. But I think, like, right now, I'm not Joe Lunardi. I haven't plotted out the field of 68 or anything. But they kind of feel like a play-in-ish team right now, you know, can maybe get to the 10.
As the American champion, still a play-in?
I mean, if you're assuming they
surely
win the American.
Surely they're still better than UAB.
What was UAB
who
last
is your
year?
Main, who's your main 12. Competition now?
They were 12. I don't think you're going to get any love in this age.
It's if you win the American, it's, you know, which if you probably will. You're probably not going to get higher than a. You're not going to get what Houston got back in the day.
No, no. Well,
you know, those days where you're probably back to the, you know, the 8-9 seed. Who knows is a winner.
What was Florida
but not
Atlantic
in the,
a 9?
Not in the, surely not in the play-in.
I mean, FAU was a 9. Them folks beat Arizona, you know? I mean, they were freaking, you know, coming off that Final Four. So I'm not expecting much love at all from the committee on the AAC. I mean, I just.
Yeah, you're 8-9 might be the best you can do these days.
100%. Like, best. Best. And, you know.
But that, again. They have a non-conference schedule.
They do. They have the opportunity.
If they wanted to shock us, they can absolutely exceed an 8 or a 9 with that non-con.
Which, by the way, I want to talk about
if
that
if they wanted
quick.
To shock us and just pull what you did last year and go, you know, what was it, 11-2 last year in the non-con? I think it was 11-2 last year in the non-con.
I want to talk about a problem that might be brewing underneath the surface with that you mentioned, specifically the scheduling. I don't know if you've paid attention to some national schedules that are being released, you know, this summer.
Not many.
But these power schools, outside of these marquee events, right, the Maui, the Battle for Atlantis, et cetera, they're gaming the net. They're starting to game the net by scheduling nothing but patsies
blowouts matter, as we saw this year.
And so you're not seeing, like people are clowning Iowa State, for example, right? Because I don't, they're playing like the Sisters of the Blind and Poor.
This is interesting. I'm glad.
That they're clowning T.J. Otzelberger because he didn't schedule any smoke, right? Now, Iowa State plays in the Big 12, so they'll make up
there.
For it. But he didn't schedule anybody outside of his league. And we talk so much about Memphis, you know, and these series that are great, you know, Mississippi State's coming on, and we have Clemson and Virginia and, you know, all these different things. But it feels like unless they update the net, you know, to de-incentivize just beating up on bad teams, it does feel like those opportunities might start to dry up for Memphis moving forward. Again, outside of the marquee events.
Interesting.
I worry about that a little bit. You know, because Memphis depends on those matchups. The AAC is, you're going to be in a situation now where you could have to win your damn tournament or your conference regular season. And again, not today, because you have those series on the books. I'm just saying 3, 4, 5 years from now, when those series are over, you know, are people going to want to schedule Memphis? Because Memphis is going to be the football conversation, right?
Well, the fix is they need to adjust the formula and take these blowouts over scrub teams.
William and Mary, come
on. Them not be as impactful as they are in the formula. Because, again, using Memphis as the example, how many times, how many days last season when things were still good, when they were 15-2, number 10 in the country, did we say the net is not matching up with what this team is? It's because they weren't getting credit. These were not blowout wins that Memphis had. And is that right? You're right that the Memphis may have to react this way, and other college basketball teams, you know, may not have a choice, because if you're not in among the power structure and in these tournaments, whatever, if you're, why would they bring you in?
Yeah.
You may have to adjust. But my point is, the adjustment should be made with the net, because it's ridiculous.
Well, because it hurts.
You're getting
the product
too much credit
as well
for blowout wins over scrubs. Again, they've made it too impactful in terms of how much that weighs into the analytics.
Yeah, so
I can, again, it should factor in against bigger teams, better teams.
Right.
But the teams were getting too much credit for blowout wins, 20-point wins, 25-point wins over bad teams.
Exactly.
The computer's giving them too much love.
Here's Iowa State's non-conference schedule this year. I'm using them as an example because he's the one that got clowned.
I mean, people used to try to, you know, do the RPI thing and try to figure
right.
I mean, the SEC said we got to, you know, they had a meeting about it.
Yeah. Mississippi Valley State, Kansas City, IU Indianapolis, Maui, Marquette in that Big 12 Big East battle, which they don't schedule, Jackson State, Iowa, Omaha, and Morgan State. I mean, one, two, three, four, five, six games that are just utterly embarrassing that you would ever play on your schedule. Mississippi Valley State.
Again, I mean, you can't even you can't use the argument, well, your team won't be prepared for the tournament against him because what they get in the Big 12 is good enough, and that's where the
I'm not blaming them.
Happens.
I'm blaming, like you said, it's on the net.
This is on the net. It's on the system itself. That's how you fix it.
Yes.
And don't put teams at, like, you know, Memphis at a disadvantage.
I mean, even Gonzaga,
in terms of,
right?
Maybe in terms of future scheduling, because now everybody's going to try to adjust to this.
Right.
In terms of their scheduling going forward,
because
they think the net matters so much. Net shouldn't matter that much.
Exactly. There's not a ton of teams that would be in Memphis' predicament, right, that actually have a brand, you know, in a non-power structure. It'd be Gonzaga. It'd be Memphis. You know, are there a couple of A-10 schools like VCU and
VCU.
Dayton,
yeah.
You know? But it's not necessarily a problem that everybody is going to feel. So, I worry. Like, if I was, a czar of college basketball, I would be wanting to say, hey, I don't know what it's going to take to update your models and your algorithms, but we have to make sure that, because this hurts the sport, to be clear. You know, if anything that de-incentivizes you from scheduling good basketball games is a net negative for the sport.
Mm.
There's just no doubt about that. You know, so let's fix this. Let's make sure that, hey, you know, if you want to play a bye game, one or two bye games, sure. You don't need six.
Yeah, you can make this part of your Field of 68 platform next year. Campaign for this on your way down to San Antonio. And then by the time you get to the end of the year at the Final Four, maybe we will have had some change. Make it that the net is wrong. The net is what needs the fixing.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're going to penalize teams like Memphis, and you can use them as an example.
Because it's like,
make this part of your platform.
Well, because here's the thing.
In year two.
We talk about college basketball as a six-week sport. Right, the majority of the country doesn't care until February and March.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think this helps that narrative by having six games on a Power 5, Top 10 type team schedule that are utterly meaningless and probably won't even be broadcast?
Well, my thing is, you got to explain that to your fans. They still got to pay for, you know, buy tickets to, and I get that's what you're going to tell them is that, well, we're prepared enough. But that it shouldn't be on the these teams like Memphis to adjust to that.
Exactly. Frankly,
the net shouldn't factor in so much into the committee's decision. It clearly did this year. But then if you're going to continue to make it, you know, one-fourth of the components, whatever it is, then you need to scale down this part of the formula about the blowout wins. At least just have it apply when it's those are winning teams, tournament teams that you're blowing out.
Exactly.
You know, as opposed to the scrubs. But,
exactly. So I'll be on it, dude.
It's
not
just Memphis you'd be penalized. There'll be a bunch of teams in this boat.
I'll use my platform to the best of my ability.
I mean, I think you can bring some light to you with the example.
Because I represent the marginalized and the
underrepresented. Well, last year you did when Memphis wasn't getting the ranking love that it needed.
Yes.
You were out there campaigning, parading for Memphis.
I had Terrence Oglesby going with
and as soon as you got the attention, we fell apart. Now, that's not your fault.
No, just like
that was on the shaky roster.
Correct.
And once you subtract Caleb Mills, all hell breaks loose.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
So, new part of your campaign year two, again. You can use Memphis as the example here.
Exactly. But again, there's other schools, you know, that have history.
I would use the VCUs and Dayton.
Dayton and Gonzaga. I mean, even Gonzaga. Now, Gonzaga's probably
now,
one
ESPN's
of one.
ESPN's made them sort of a darling that's going to schedule half of their non-con and put them in those little classics or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of, they've separated themselves.
No, they've earned it.
You know, we were there right with them for a while.
Yeah, you fell off. You fell behind.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, Gonzaga's still in the Sweet 16 every damn year, you know? I mean, they earned it. So you have not, you know, and that's the problem. That is, and they also, again, are in the West Coast. They need West Coast programming. So home games at Gonzaga, ESPN's going to drive those, you know. They're going to push for those.
Yes. They're a darling of ESPN now.
But,
I'm jealous.
There's other programs, too. I just got to find them. Anyway, yeah, lots of things going on in college basketball, even though it's June, mid-June, here in the city of Memphis.
Next story.
I got one here. We discussed it as it related to the Memphis Grizzlies, the new mock draft up over at The Athletic. But we're kind of going to make it a little bit of college basketball too, John, because I'm very curious about what you think about one particular player. And no, it's not one of these European guys. We're not asking about somebody that you haven't seen. We talked about Reed Sheppard and The Athletic having him number 9 right now, dropping to the Grizzlies number 9. John and I both don't believe that's going to happen. We had that at cap or no cap. Most have. A lot of mocks have got Reed Sheppard going number 3 to the Houston Rockets. Real quick, the rundown at 1, they've got Sarr going to the Hawks, Risha Shea going to the Wizards, Stephon Castle as the three here in this draft going to the Rockets. What I want to ask you about, John, Buzelis is fourth, is the guy that they've got fifth. Cody Williams is going up mock drafts right now. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
He's five in this one. He's gone up as well on Bleacher Report and some others, the wing out of Colorado. I didn't watch a ton of him, just curious what you thought about him. They thought that that with Cody Williams, the 6'9 wing, what he fits in terms of Trajan Langdon, who's the new president of basketball operations there, is the kind of player they think fits the mold. Now, he'd been a guy that, you know, had been mocked earlier much lower. Not sort of top five-ish, has moved up quite a bit. What do you think of Cody Williams? Not so much the fit with what team, but just the player himself. 6'7 wing, 19.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Zaire Williams. That kind of rise, right?
We're forcing one here.
Yeah, like it's basically the same build. It's the same idea. It's like the 6'9 versatile wing that can shoot the ball from the Pac-12. I mean, I watched Colorado quite a bit, because I had to be up late for those Field of 68 late shows. And so they would be on. And I just came away like, he showed flashes, man. Like, he's obviously got in crazy ability. But I just came away more impressed with, like I've said, Da Silva, on that Colorado team than I was him. Now, look, NBA production is weird. He could get drafted fourth and go on to be an amazing player. But I just don't. I don't know if he's got, like, he's going to take time to get physically mature, and you're kind of going to ask him to do things he didn't do in college. So I'm just not really, I get it in theory, but it just feels like fool's gold in a way to go that high on him.
Trajan. I need Langdon.
I think Trajan is right.
The speculation here is that because coming from his former team, the Pelicans, where he was in the front office there, they liked those long, tall wings.
Yes.
And so now as the head man in Detroit, looking at a guy like Cody Williams, he would be interested in, therefore, Detroit at number five. Number six, real quick, before we'll just round it out back to the Grizzlies. They've got Donovan Klein going six. If he's there, man, Grizzlies got to move up and get him. Hopeful that happens. Your boy Dalton Connect, they've got going number seven to the Portland Trailblazers. San Antonio Spurs to getting Devin Carter, and then we mentioned it. This is the only mock where I've seen, at least recently, where I've seen Reed Shepard this low fallen to number nine to the Memphis Grizzlies. Don't think it's going to happen. Number 10, they've got Topic, who's going to Utah, even though he's got the injury. I guess he's still going to be a lottery pick.
Yeah.
Ron Holland, who had been mocked to many in many drafts to Memphis, and some, I should say, not so many, number 11 to the Chicago Bulls. So. That's your breakdown. The draft's next Wednesday.
It's crazy. It's crazy that we could, get a run-up with the finals. Again, if this thing goes seven, we could get a run-up right to, the draft, right? Because I think game seven would be Sunday. So you could have Sunday, game seven.
You're dreaming this thing go to game seven.
I would love that. I think it would be great. I mean, game seven of the NBA finals, what's better?
Do you know when the Marcus Smart trade happened? June 23rd last year.
That was the draft, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Was it right before? My point is yes. Like, maybe we'll get some action as well.
How many game sevens have there been in the NBA finals? Was 2016 the last one? I think it might have been. I don't know. Because usually the finals are not that.
19.
Oh, 2019.
How fast Brad found that.
19 is
Thank you, Brad. Total.
No, 19 total.
Yep.
The last one, though, was 2016.
Oh, the last one?
Yeah, the last one was 2016 against Cavs and Warriors. So you know,
not that many if you think about the history of the NBA. There's only been 19 sevens.
2013, we got one. Heat and Spurs.
Bulls never went to one, did they? Bulls never went
to a
game seven.
Don't believe so. Not that I recall.
Mm-hmm. 2010, we got Lakers Celtics.
Some of those divisions did.
A lot of divisions, yeah. 2005, Spurs Pistons went seven.
Okay. This ain't going seven, folks.
Exactly. We're digging deep here.
No, we're going to have the
Luka
draft round one.
Much more work to do, bro.
Yep.
Actually, as a matter of fact, it is about that time.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at my watch. It's grind time. All right, we're going to take a break. Brad's going to give you a winner. As long as you do the opposite.
Yeah, we're back.
All right, and you will have a bonus pick today?
Yep.
Please have one.
It's part of the required.
He's rolling.
Required reading.
Bro says he has an over on a Celtic. Is that correct?
That's correct.
He has an over. He's going to pick which Celtic goes off tonight. I mean, it's like playing whack-a-mole.
Listen, it's square man.
It's a kiss of death for one of these Celtics is what it is.
Sorry about this in advance.
Yeah.
I tell you this. If it's Tatum, I'm putting two units on that mug. All right?
This is going to be fun.
I'm putting two units on that mug. all right, we'll come back with Faye Brass. Stick around. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN. Yeah. Shoot 360. You got somebody in the house that loves basketball, your son, your daughter, niece, nephew. Big things coming. New facility soon. We'll give you the details on that when it is complete. But in the meantime, in between time, 85 Market Center Drive in Cairo, that's where you're going to find the state-of-the-art facility where anybody and everybody can get better at the game of basketball. Just put the time in. Passing drills, dribbling drills, shooting drills. It's an amazing facility. It's awesome. And it's one that NBA players use and invest in. So that tells you all you need to know. Some of the best ones in the world. 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
Fact is, if you don't have your son, daughter, niece, nephew in line getting this type of training, you're falling behind. Or certainly the threat of that is real. Because this is the new wave. And everybody's pretty much recognized it, especially now that they've been established at 85 Market Center Drive. As John said, got the big one coming this summer. No question about it. But what they all do, big or a little smaller, in terms of location, is going to have that full game, well-rounded, not just the shooting that Clay and Steph use this technology, but also the ball handling and the passing, huge interactive video boards. It's going to be like playing a video game. Your kid's going to love it, but they're really getting better. You're going to love the membership options. Get out to 85 Market Center Drive in Cairo out at Shoot 360.
All right, it's about that time. What could be potentially the last Fade Brad of the year. Obviously, this will not be returning until next NBA postseason. So, as a recap, what are we at officially on Fade Brad?
32-43-1.
32-43-1.
11 games under 500. Very, very nicely done,
Thank
Brad.
You.
He had been on a little bit too much of a roll of late, but managed to find the losing pick back on Friday.
All right, so
reestablishing Fade Brad.
All right, so you would be up. Let's see. I'm trying to do some math here. You would be up 11 units right now, fading Brad.
Is it 11? Seemed like you would. It would seem like you were at 8 or something last week.
Well, he's
and he just hit one. He hit one. It goes.
We had that push, right?
Yeah, the push.
Yeah.
So I mean, I
we're 43-32-1.
Yeah, if you're fading him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I've got. I've got 11 units there on that math. So,
still a great deal of success.
What's that
involved with this?
What's that win percentage come out?
It's
to?
If you're not counting the push as a win, it's 56.6% win percentage.
Okay, but are
on
you
on those 43 wins out of 76 opportunities?
Right,
see what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah, because their ties do factor in as well.
Correct.
He's so 43, 32, and one. Would be, yes, it would be, let's see, 57%.
Yes. 56.6 will go.
Yeah, so that would be, again, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If anybody does that.
I can tell it's impressed even you.
I mean, you're talking about the most efficient markets day in and day out of a very difficult sport to beat. And if you're fading Brad right here on the show, then you are doing just that. And you're doing it pretty easily. I mean, we're not talking about 3 to 4 units here.
Now, how many games a year, just real quick for comparison, and we've used Jeffrey as comparison. He keeps his record. He talked about the last 2 years being 50%. How many college football picks? I was thinking about this myself at home. How many college football picks, Brad, you would know this.
Yeah.
Is he typically making each week?
Well, he's doing.
It's like 9 to 10.
His book every week when he's doing the grid is probably 12
and
on an average week time.
And so his sample size there going to be larger than ours,
in
terms of – and we're talking about how hard it is what he's doing. And he's talking about that 50%.
I mean, he's
picking a lot more games right over a season then versus the spread. And all of his are versus the spread, right?
He's up at 275, 300 even.
So maybe. That's what I'm saying. If we spread the playoffs out, eventually Brad's going to get closer, right, to that 50. You know, faders of Brad will end up getting closer to that 50% number, no?
I don't know.
Just the way with the numbers go, I was just trying to compare it to something we know and something that's real and real hard to do versus this.
Yeah, well, Jeffrey has obviously an entire slate.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
his sample size is going to be bigger if we're talking that many games per week.
Yeah. we only have the games we have, right? So it's our, you know, it could be three at most, four at most.
And
tonight.
On his bets, he's doing specific bets on a per game basis, line not influenced. In other words, he'll do a parlay on a game, and
correct.
It's this or not. He'll do a point spread on this game. He'll do over the, like this game. This game.
Oh,
he's
it's got not all point spreads.
It's all,
that's very important.
It's all individualized on the game.
Some of them are totals.
Yes,
they're over on.
Yeah,
okay,
some
that's
totals.
Very that's very
it's,
important.
It's
that changes
specific,
in.
So do I
sort
think over the course of a season? And he's doing a ton more against the spread.
It's closer now.
Yeah.
I see. If some of those are over, I'm glad you pointed that out, Brad.
Yeah.
He does do. He does.
I'm not doing
right,
specific
right.
overs on games
that.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
So I think the sample size is probably pretty close.
So I was just wondering, is this an impressive enough sample size, what we have, that this is
cemented? Well, they say, like, you can have the professional opinion is you have to have 1,500 bets.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's a see.
Holy crap.
To know that your edge is stable.
We're going to need you to come back and do this again next postseason is the point I'm making.
Yeah, so about 10
years. Well, it's definitely bad.
We're going to lock this.